I want to begin by thanking the Bari Arlon who has brought us to this place together. Has brought us to this place together. There are many thoughts and many feelings. But first, Hakaras HaTov to the Bari Arlon, to the Creator who brought us here together. I want to thank Chevra who are sponsoring this time by the Tzaddik Zev and Ksenia Alexander in honor of the Tzaddik Reb Shaila, Yehuda Stern Le'iloi Nishmas, his sister Rachel Bas Svid and Hashem should have an Aliyah. Moshe David Lachman Le'iloi Nishmas, his grandfather whose yahrzeit is today. Mary Yechiel Ben Avram, Hashem should have an Aliyah, and the grandmother Tzipora Feiga Bas Tuvia, whose father and grandfather used to go to Reb Shaila for Yom Neroim, Neshamish Shehav Neliyah. For Mauricio Gluck, Le'uli Nishmas, Rebetzin Malka Bas Avram, Kerestir Rebetzin from Miami Beach, the granddaughter of Reb Shaila, Neshamish Shehav Neliyah. Menachem and Daniel, Levitz, in the schus of the Chevra, that cannot be there right now, but they're with us in Ruchnias. Mordechai and Daphne Stern, in memory of Mordechai's father, Rav Yosef ben Mordechai, who believed that Reb Shaila's bracha saved his life in the Holocaust, and in honor of his mother, Yitl Bas Avra. Seven Ronain and Sylvia Fuchsbrummer, Refuah Shleima, Schus Refuah Shleima for Yisrael David ben Yonalea, Chaim Howie and Martha Hershkowitz, in honor of the children, Shiyuchu should be healthy and well, and David Lawrence in honor of Shoshana and the birth of their son yesterday. Also in honor of all the holy chevra and the Noshim Sidkonias, the wives who sacrificed for their husbands this week and every day of our lives to allow us to get closer to each other and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chazdei Hashem. Shoshana should have Refuah Shleima B'Sar Sharachai Yisrael, and the Rachanim should be brought in the bris of Avraham Avinu B'Sar Tovu Mutzlachas, and should give the parents and grandparents and all of us Nachas Tegedush Ad Meir V'Eshim Shal.
Amen.
That wasn't planned. I said to David last night before the good news that the hashpos and the yeshuas of this trip are already beginning. She spoke about the Bez Hashem and that we'll be able to come home and to see you over time. In a way that's very clear to us. All kinds of yeshuas and gashmis and rochnias for ourselves, for our families and for all Yisrael. Mostly I'm wondering about what's happened here in this place. And I'm not talking about the different rooms and so on, but what's happened here? You know, the Basayin, who I mentioned yesterday, Basayin Schusi Yonaleinu, he was in Tzfas. When he made that aliyah that we were talking about yesterday, he made that aliyah to Israel, so the Basayin was in Tzfas. And he had a Beis HaMedrash there, which we could still go see in Tzfas, from the Basayin. And he was there at the time of the great earthquake in Tzfas, which unfortunately, terrible things happened during that earthquake. And the Basayin was in the Beis HaMedrash, and he called everybody. They were crowded into the shul. Everybody was running into the Basayin's Beis HaMedrash. And the Basayin called everybody to come closer, come closer, come closer. And the whole olam that were there were many, many, many people. They were all pushing and crushing each other to get closer. He kept on saying, closer, closer. And by the next tremor, there was a big, big knack. And the other half of the Beis HaMedrash completely collapsed. The other half. And everybody who was close to the Basayin survived the earthquake. I don't know what's happened over here in this place by this tzaddik, but Klal Yisrael knows around whom to huddle, you know? We have a certain sense, it's a Ruach HaKodesh that we have. But Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nachman, and the Rebbe of Melech, and now Reb Shaila Kerestir, that Am Yisrael is very, very desperate, and we feel that there's an earthquake, some uncontrollable, scary earthquake that's taking place in the world at this time. We're afraid for our children, for our grandchildren. We're afraid for their Yiddishkeit and for their being normal and healthy, growing up to be normal and healthy people. We're afraid. There's an earthquake. And somehow it's come down. The Klal Yisrael, now at the end of time, at the very, very end, at the bottom of the ninth, Mamash, the Klal Yisrael knows instinctively that the time has come to huddle around, that Tzaddik was buried in this place of Shaila, which years ago nobody even heard of him. Maybe the Hungarian Chevra, people that are children or grandchildren, heard we did, because we knew there was a Tzaddik and that they loved here in this part of the world, but it wasn't anything like now. It was just the art site, and how many thousands, I don't know how many thousands of people, and everywhere everybody's talking about Reb Shaila and have a connection to Reb Shaila. This book that was an adaptation of the one Lashon HaKodesh on Reb Shaila, which I read the same as many of you read. I don't know stories from Reb Shaila. My father doesn't remember stories. He just remembers that he was very loved and that they had a picture of him in the house, you know. But he didn't remember stories. And I'm going through. I read the entire book, which is obviously only a tiny, tiny little drop in the ocean, just to get to know a little bit, to read some of these stories. It sounds like you're reading something from 1,000 years ago. But there's an earthquake, and the Baruch Shalom has revealed in the hearts of his children at the end of time, do whatever you can, make a connection to this Tzaddik of Shaila Kirstir. Tzaddik, we didn't know really anything. We heard, who is he? What is he? You have Torahs. Did you see a sefer from Torahs that he wrote? Are there drushes that he said that we remember that have been recorded? Maybe there are a few Torahs here and there, but that's not what we remember. As we were just getting off the bus now, and my wife asked Ellie about what was it like? I mean, the Jews, how many of the Jews from Kerestia, what happened with during the Milchama, during the war? How were they affected by the Milchama? And he said, from what he heard, I don't know, I didn't see this anywhere, but Ellie said that the vast majority of the Yidden over here in Kerestia, that they survived the Milchama. And there's somehow this feeling that we have that in order to survive, we have to hold on to this Jew. And I'm thinking about this a lot. What is that? And to tell over stories, everybody should, this is not just, this is every Shabbos at the table. Take a story from this book and talk about it with the children. Not just because of the miracles, though, of Meifsim here, the train stopping in Kerest. I mean, I'm sure many of you read the book that there wasn't any train stop over here. And there were Jews coming, hundreds of Jews all the time to Reb Shaila. All kinds of Parchim and Darchim and Barchim, different kinds of Jews were coming over here. Jews that you and I wouldn't know how to go within 20 feet of them without feeling sick. And that they came here to Reb Shaila, Talmid Chachamim, all different big Jews, little Jews, everybody came here to Reb Shaila. And how, you know, there was no train stop in Kerestir. There was no train stop, and then there were Jews that wanted to be able to get off and to be able to come right into Reb Shaila. It was very hard in those days to go further, to come from further, from this way, that way, and to be able to come to Reb Shaila. And it just came to Reb Shaila's attention, and he spoke to the authorities. The local authorities loved him. When he was Nifter Reb Shaila, when he was Nifter, all the goyim here closed down their stores. They were crying. There was a tzaka gedolah, that an evil gadol, not just la Yehudim, that came up from this place. That everybody here believed that the tzaddik was the makor habracha here. And when he spoke to the local fellow in charge of the train, it was masma 100%. But he had to have it approved by his boys, and they were, wherever that was, maybe in Budapest someplace, they didn't They weren't masking to changing the schedule because there's a wonder rabbi over here, and that, you know, they. So then the train just couldn't go past Kerestir. That was all. Then the train stopped in Kerestir, and then after Reb Shaila asked nicely, and the fellow said he'll try, and he said he's sorry, he can't do anything about it. So then after Reb Shaila asked, then it came. The next day, the train came to Kerestir, and then it broke down in Kerestir. That was all. And the Jews that wanted to come to Reb Shaila just got off the train. And then they had this happened a few times, that the train, they tried fixing it, finally they were able to get it going. In the meantime, all the Jews came to Reb Shaila. And then afterwards, the people in Budapest or wherever they were said, "Is this truly a thing that you?" They asked the local guy in charge of the train station, "Is do you know that there are, that this is this rabbi? He's got powers or something?" He said, "Oh, he's got powers. There's 100% he's got powers." And then they made a stop in Kerestir. They made a stop for the Jews coming to Reb Shaila. I mean, these are one after the other. These are stories like from a long time ago. That there were moifsim that were rolling under the table in this town by Reb Shaila. All kinds of things. But I'm not talking even about those being the ikker. That's not the ikker. And that's not, I don't believe that's why Jews are coming here. We believe in miracles for a long time, and there are Bali moifsim. All right, in our time this is something very strange and very unusual. But there's something else that's happening here. And it's brought down over here, how the tzaddikim themselves of the time of Reb Shaila were wondering, like, what's the story with this person? He wasn't officially, from a family of rabbis, and he was a shamus by Reb Hershel Lisker. Most of the time, as you know, he spent giving out bilkalach, challahs, and food, and being machnis to Orchim over there and taking care. So there was a conversation among the tzaddiki hador, like, is he Rebbe? He was asked by Reb Hershel's Levaya, and he sat all the way on the side because he couldn't be consoled. He was sobbing and crying. And then some of the chassidim, some of the older chassidim came over to him and to give him mazel tov to make him into Rebbe. And the tzaddik hador didn't understand what are his credentials. So Motchila from the Dvarna, Chusi Yelena said that in the Tefillah of Yom Purkin, that we say Shabbos going to Musaf. So, Rav Revaya, Zeraya, Taflin, and Shaya, all Jews, we're giving a bracha, all Jews, the great leaders of the Jewish people, and the Zeraya, the little ones, Taflin, Mahamish, babies, and the Shaya, and the women. So, Motlin Advarna said, Rav Revaya, those are the big rabbis, Rav Revaya. Zeraya are the little rabbilach, like the little rabbis, with the little chassidus, the little rabbis. Zeraya. Tafla are even the smaller rabbis. The smaller rabbis. Tafla. Unishaya. Nishaya, which means the women. Nishaya, he made a play on the word Nishaya, and he says, Unshaya. And then there's Shaya. Then there's Shaila. And the Shaila is Shaila. Something different. And the Shaila that Ramatchala said that Reb Shaila is in that word, the play on the word in the Shaila, the women, the Nashim Sarkanias. That this Reb Shaila became like a mother of the Jewish people. And it was Mezgala during his lifetime. And then there was some sort of a covering, and now it's exploded back into the world, such a thing that the Jewish people have, such a tzaddik that they could come to. Whether you're a Rav Revaya, you're a big Talmud Chacham, whether you're a Zeraya, a little Yid, whether you're a person that's even a Tafla that Mamish could be Chalila, the biggest sinner in the world. But everybody wants to connect to Nishai to Reb Shai to Shail. There's a story about a very big Choshev Talmud Chacham, Reb Michal Schwartz. It's on page 87, 88. And this Michal Schwartz was a chassid of the Divya Cheskel, Cheskel Shenever. And for whatever reason, he got stuck someplace. And when Jews were stuck someplace, they came here. They were nearby and they came to Reb Shaila Kerstir, who was already famous Reb Shaila. And he was waiting to see something. And waiting to hear something. He didn't hear any Torah. And he didn't see anything unusual. He saw mostly that Reb Shaila was going around bringing food and finding a place for someone to sleep and going in the night, covering up people with blankets. So this Yid, this Talmud Chacham, was disappointed. He didn't talk to anybody about it. He believed that he's a tzaddik, but he just didn't. He didn't see this, the inyan of Reb Shaila. I mean, he was by the Divya Cheskel, you understand? Divya Cheskel was a guy in Olam, in Ish Kodesh. And he came here like many other Jews, and he felt that he was by a caterer, an Ehrlich caterer, a very, very reliable caterer. So. And when he came in to give shalom to Reb Shaila, of course, he read his thoughts right away. And Reb Shaila said to him that, you know, that there's a saying that Jews have, that by certain big tzaddikim, by the Rav Ravaya, by big tzaddikim, the chassidim don't have a good by them, not in Olam Hazeh, not in this world, and not in the next world. By the Rav Ravaya, by the big tzaddikim. The big tzaddikim like that. That it's not to be a chassid, it's not so kedai. It's not good in this world and not in the next world. So he saw right away this Yid that Reb Shaila was going there in. And Reb Shaila explained, and he asked him first, what does it mean, such a thing? By tzaddikim, by big tzaddikim, it's not. So Reb Shaila said that, you know, a person's a chassid. The marshal, he says, by a chaskel shenir. A person's a chaskel by the heilige shenir. So in this world, even a Talmud Chacham walks in to the Reb Chaskel Shenev and he can't find a seat, right? A piece of kugel Yizuch is not going to be able to get, because who are you? You know, go someplace in the back. There are 1,000 people, big lamdonim, and they're sitting in the front. And who are you? So what kind of an Olam Hazeh? It's a big tzaddik, but the Olam Hazeh, you don't even get a piece of kugel. You might not even be able to make a moitzi over there by such a big tzaddik. So then what about Olam Haba? What's Olam Haba? So then this chassid comes to Olam Haba, and they ask him, who is your rabbi? And he says, I'm a chassid from Chaskel Shenev. Ooh, you yourself must be a very great person. Who needs such questions like that? Who needs such things like that? You come to the next world, you want to have a little manuka, right? And they start to say to you things like that, scary things like that. So who are you, Take? Like, what do you know? And you were by, how long you were by Chaskel? You were by Chaskel Shenev for so long, and you're such a nobody. So what happens? So it's not in the next world, it's also not Olam Hazeh, not Olam Haba. But then a Yid, this Yid, if he comes to Shaila, he said, if he comes to Shaila, oh, Olam Hazeh, comes in, there's always hot food, machaya, and you could be in Mamish, the biggest Amoris, the biggest Russia, a Peshaya, and Shaila sits you down at the head of the table, and he treats you Mamish like a king. So an Olam Hazeh Yizicha have by Shaila. The question is, but what about Olam Haba? So this Yid comes to Olam Haba and they ask you, tell me something, who is your Rebbe, who did you go to? So the Yid says, I in the world I went to Reb Shaila Kerestir. So Reb Shaila said, it's not a little bit to live. You went to Shaila Kerestir? Yeah, that was my Rebbe, I went to Reb Shaila. So even though you were by such a person like that, and you still came out to be a Yid, a Pele Mamish, you were by a nobody, a caterer, a nobody, and you came out to be such a Yid, come on in. Come in. So even sometimes by Shaya, by Neshaya, it could be good in Olam Hazeh and good in Olam Haba. Say that every story, I could, you know, go through the night and stories, and the Olam's tired, and I'm nervous for my wife, Mamish, and at the time with this man. And I myself am very, very tired. But we have to try to talk about this to understand what is this? Which already I gave the answer already. But what is this? Let's try a little bit to understand on our Madrega what this is. I don't know if in this place Rav Kook has been quoted yet. Maybe yes, maybe no, because all different Jews come here. But I certainly am comfortable with that, and I think everybody here is comfortable with that. Not only comfortable, but very, very happy with that. And there's a maimon from Rav Kook that's printed in the Mamori, in the Mamori Raya, Mamori Riyah. There those who call Raya, call Riyah, Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKoy. This, it's printed, it's called Kirvas Elokim, closeness to God, Kirvas Elokim. And he begins, Rav Kook begins the maimon of Kirvas Elokim with his usual poetry. But even Tafla, Zerai and Tafla can understand these words. He says, Ativius ha-tahayra shel nishmas ha-adam. The pure naturalness. Ativius ha-tahayra shel nishmas ha-adam of the soul of a human being. Yicholim onu lahakir bavchana amuka v'chayderes. The katnusa shel adam, one can detect that natural, that pure, that natural pureness. You can detect b'avchana amuka if you look deeply, the chaderis in a penetrating way, the katnusa shel adam on a human being. Any human being is a child, is little. B'tkufas hayaldus. At that time of the period of when he's a child. B'oid lo nizdama nishmosoi b'zuhamas ha-so'or she-b'isa she-b'mahumas ha-chaim. What the words. Rav Kook says, B'oid lo nizdama, before lo nizdama nishmosoi, before the soul is polluted. B'zuhamas ha-so'or she-b'isa, with the filth of the so'or she-b'isa, of the chametz of the Yetzirah, she-b'mahumas ha-chaim, which comes into us, b'muhumas achayim, with the confusion, the bewilderment of life in this world. That's what he writes at the beginning of Kirvas Elokim. It's kedaitl in the whole mind. That's what he says at the beginning of Kirvas Elokim. You already see where I'm going with this, right? In the sixth Kovitz, Resh Pei Dalad, Resh Pei Hei, in his Kavotsim in the six Kovitz, Rav Kook speaks of this there also. And he calls this Ritzoin Hachayim Habilti Michutam Umikulkal. The desire, the will for life, Bilti Mikutam, a kesem, is what? A stain. There's a longing that a human being has for life that's unstained. It's pure. Undamaged. Mekulkal. Bilti mekusam mekulkal. Unstained and undamaged. Unruined. Huzoyrei mederach yeshara. Like a child. It's like a current. It just goes in a straight, healthy, and normal path. A human being wants this. Mimayan hachayim. To be like a water that flows from a living well. That's fresh. And it's pure, unstained, undamaged. Me'oitzer achayim ha'olami, from that treasure of real life. U'meir benishmas hayaldus. And if you want to see this, you see this illuminating in the soul of a little child, of a child. That's why we love them so much. In the soul of a child. This nishmas hayaldus, of Huxel's nishmas hayaldus, hativius hatahira, I believe be'emunah shleima that the pnimius of the pnimius of what draws us and so many thousands of others and soon all of Klal Yisrael to Kerestir, to Reb Shaila, is this nishmas hayaldus of the person that comes out from everything that he did. This tivius hatahira. Rav Kook writes over there in the Maimer, Be'emes loy chokhme v'yidir rabbi hi ha-masher zaysonu. Great knowledge is not what brings us the joy that we're looking for. You know that some of those brilliant people that ever lived were the most depressed and miserable people who ever lived. Not that it's not important, but that's not what is ma'asheris osanu. That's not what brings us oisher, fulfillment. Ella hatoim shel hayaldus, the tmimus of yaldus, of when we were children. Hatoim shel hayaldus. And he writes, Ashrei mi sheyonek mileshet hayaldus, gam behayosei ish. How fortunate is the person who is able to draw from the moistness of childhood, gam behayosei ish, even when he's older, when he's a fully mature person. Gam beziknusai, even in his old age. Ashrei mi shenaseh keben shona b'loi chet. Fortunate is the person who, even when he's old, is able to be like a child who's only a year old, b'loi chet, like it says about Shaul HaMelech. B'yoseh kvar omus b'masa shel shonim rabbis, even at a time when he's already old and he's weighed down by the burden of life, b'yimei chayei hevloi, over the long years of the havel havolim that he experienced while being in this world, and he's still able to be a child. That's in the seventh Kovitz, Reish Hei. So one of the Chever already wrote a new Niggin. Shaila, Reb Shaila, Heilige Reb Shaila, Heilige Reb Shaila. Heilige Reb Shaila. All of us here, and every single Jew who comes to this place, and Emesis, Lahavdil, Lahavdil, that even those goyim who felt and feel a connection to Reb Shaila. Are all sick and tired, are so fed up and disgusted with the Zuhuma, with the impurity of this world of life here, of the Sora Shabisa, of the Eitzahara, Shebimuhuma Sachayim, that just takes over. We're davening Marav, and I see there's a little panel over there, and I see a tireed walking over, looking 10 times like an Esrog at his phone, and putting it into the panel. The Mehuma Sachayim, even here, the Mehuma Sachayim, that's not letting us live in that simple way that we once felt when we were children. And we're sick of that. We're tired of that. And therefore, Jews are coming to Reb Shaila looking for life that chayim bilti miku samim, life that's unstained. Somehow to have a connection to an unstained presence, to something that's unruined, that's still pure, that still has the toim hayaldus, the tamimus of a little child. that still has the that tmimus of giving and giving without making a cheshbon. Where is this going to take me? How am I going to manage? Without any of the cheshbonis of adults. Because the world is living through the earthquake of the end of time. And we're trying very, very hard to find our way to the Eitz HaChaim, to the Tree of Life. And we feel that it's so hard because we've eaten so much from the Eitz HaDa'as, Tov V'ra. We've eaten so much from the Tree of Knowledge. And we know too much. We know too much. We've become too clever. And we want, and the whole world wants to be able to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. So let's talk again about the four sons. And again, I'm asking Mechila, but the emphasis is we don't come here every day. So should be Mechila, Bechesed, Berachamim. And whatever it is that you might be hungry for to eat, what we're talking about now and what we're going to be fed over here, we're much, much hungrier for than any food that we could possibly get. So in our generation, there are also Chachamim, Rishoyim, Tmimim, and Einim Yoidim Lishol. I was just talking to one of the Chevra we were talking before about the Einia Dei Lishol. Because I was thinking about this trip during Pesach. The Einia Dei Lishol, to me, is always the most mysterious and the most troubling of the sons. The Einia Dei Lishol. What does that mean? Did you ever meet a Jew that doesn't know how to ask? Seriously. Who ever met in his life a Jew that doesn't ask? From the time that a Jew is very, very little, he's asking a million questions. You know that with your own children, they should be, well, why and how come and who says and do I have to and why? Everything is a question. So it can't be that the any day lishol is stam a shoyte in the world. Can't be we're talking about a shoyte, an idiot. Any day lishol is an idiot. It must be that the Maggid is talking about a healthy, intelligent, maybe even brilliant person. Over cholzois, he doesn't ask. And the reason that he doesn't ask remember, he's not an Eini Yodea. He's an Eini Yodea Lishol. And you all know that the word Das on a deeper level is not about intelligence, it's about what? Connection. Chibur. Yesod. It's about connecting. V'odem Yodas Chavi Ishtai. It's about being mechubar, being connected. The Eini Yodea Lishol could be a brilliant child, a brilliant person, but he simply doesn't care. He's not interested. He doesn't care. He's not interested. His mind is on other things. So to talk to him about Mitchiloy, the Vadazor, Hoyo Vaseinu, and Dayenu, and Chagadye, Hulomu Chubar, Zelovach Patlo. Any day, Elishol, he's not connected to a question because he's so apathetic. He's so completely detached. The only thing that means anything to him is his phone, his friends, something to eat, to have fun, whether it's a young person or an old person. He knows how to ask about politics, maybe. Most young people don't ask about those things either. He certainly knows how to ask about sports, about this girl, about that boy, about this stock or this fund. But when it comes to Kedusha, when it comes to holiness, Ein Yodei Lishal. The Rosh HaLekol HaPochus is arguing. The Rosh HaLekol HaPochus is screaming. He's fighting. It means something to him. He has tainus. You could have a Shach Levitaria. You could discuss it. You could argue. He'll be upset. He'll walk out. He'll come back. But Ichpat lo. He cares. It bothers him. And I've spoken many times about how when I was younger, we began to see traces of the Ein Yodei Lishal, that apathy, but for the most part, the Olam was fighting and yelling and arguing and discussing. This Ein Yodei Lishal is sagur, closed. You talk to a kid nowadays, you ask him, what's it like? How do you like what's going on in your shit? I don't know. How's it going with your rabbis? Okay. What do you think about God? I don't know. What do you think about the Torah? It's okay. How you doing? No. Girls, a little bit more. But then they can get sidetracked into other things that you're not asking at all. But, Ein Yodei Lishal, Adam is the gematria of Ma, right? Mem Hei. There are many, many sidists in that. That Mem Hei is Ma. Means that the Mahus of a person is to ask, what is that? Miboreila, Maza, what is this? And we're living at a time where people are so apathetic. What you're hearing most from children and from young people and even older people is just they don't talk about it, they just try to find ways to get away from it is, I'm bored. I'm bored. So you get this kid, he's got every single chatzkia that's imaginable or unimaginable. And he's got, the whole world is in his hand, and he doesn't have a chiz, he's bored. Misha'amein. Lo ma'anyein. Doesn't interest me. Lo ma'anyein oti, doesn't interest me. Ulo mechubar. He's not connected to a question. Ein Yodei Lishal. So this is the question of our generation. It's deeply, deeply affected by the Inyan that we're learning in Chaburas Yosef HaTzadik, the damage, the collateral damage of our generation, of this pagam, mitzad the parents and the children, is experienced in a very, very deep, deep emptiness that comes out in this new type of a Jew of Ein Yodei Lishal. So what can we do for this child, this adult? How do you help him? How do you help him? So it says, At Psachla. It says, you, the mother, At is a woman. Not Atta, but At Psachla. So I was thinking that it means that there are all different ways of trying to help our generation. There's Rav Ravaya, there's Eiraya, big professors, big rabbis. Small rabbis, small professors, tafle, little professors, little rabbis. And then you know what there is after all of that? Nishaya. Reb Shaila Keresthir. Our mothers and Reb Shaila. That would take many, many, many years to explain what that means. But everybody knows that in the Seder of the Arba Bonim of those children, the Chacham is together, is paired with the Rasha, right? The Chacham is paired with the Rasha. And we understand because the Chacham and the Rasha enjoy each other's company because it's Gishmak. What's Gishmak? Because you have a vikuach, you have an argument, you have a fight. There's a shakla v'tayyeh, right? They're yelling. The Rosh is a philosopher. The Chacham is a Lamdan. But that's enjoyable. They're arguing. It's Leibedik. So the Chacham and the Rosh is a pair. But remember the child, the Jew that we're trying to save now is the Enya De'elisha. So who's his Chavrusa, Rabbi Isai? Who's the Chavrusa of the Enya De'elisha? Who's his Ben Zug? The Tom. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tom, Ve'echad Shei De'elisha. Means that the Tom is the one who is able to find a tikkun for the Enya De'elisha. The tikkun of the Enya De'elisha of our generation comes through the Tam. The At Psachlo is Reb Shaila, is Neshaya. Oilam Hazad, Oilam Haba. The At Psachlo is Reb Shaila. That somehow, that the Tam, that Tamim is the Ketzadik. The one who always would reach in and find another Bilkele, right? Who would always find another bed. Would always find a kind word, who always would find a joke to say, who always had some such unbelievable and creative ways to hide when he was learning. Do you remember when he said, I mentioned to a couple of the Chevra, that there was a big Lamdan and Makubal that was very upset, how come Rav Shaila is not learning Kabbalah and Gemara, he's a person that's a Bal Madregi, you're Bal Madregi, you're not saying over anything in Kabbalah, he's trying to get something out of Rav Shaila. And this big person says to Rav Shaila, you're not Oisek in Rose Torah? In the secrets of Torah? So Rav Shaila says, Shaila is Oisek in Lasoiva Veloila Rosen. I'm Oisek in Lasoiva and making Jews feel full. Veloila Rosen, he's playing on the word Rosen, which means secrets. Veloila Rosen, not that they should be starving. Lasoiva Veloila Rosen, that's my in, is Lasoiva Veloila Rosen. My job is to make Jews feel full. To fill their stomachs, to fill their hearts. Because I know, Reb Shaila knows, that what's breaking our generation is not lack of knowledge or cleverness, it's not lack of information. It's too feel, too much of the etadah. That's not what's killing our generation, that's not what's producing a generation of any midayim lish, any miyodim lisha. Reb Shaila is a model of that world of the Tamimas that Rav Kook was describing. Because everybody here knows that at the end of the day, the nature of a child is, of a little kid, is that when something excites him, you see it. The nature of a little child is that when something is upsetting him or her, you see it. Nothing fancy, nothing hidden. You see it. The inyan of a child is that he is kuloi gilui. He is an ganzen megula. He is what he is. He's golui. That's the inyan of a child. He's not mamed upon him to pretend to be like this and to say that. What the world is chalishing for at the end of time is the Tom, because the Tom is uncomplicated. The Tom is purely good. He's not embarrassed to love Hashem. He's not ashamed. He doesn't have to make believe that he's a cool guy. He doesn't have to make believe that it's not the way to act, to join a circle by a rikud. He doesn't have to make believe that he is something other than what he is and what he's feeling at that moment. He's able to love people in a way that is completely without anything phony, any fake, unnecessary, stam, silly compliments. He's able to be in that way that's real. Now, when the Enya De'elisha meets such a person, he's absolutely blown away. Because the Enya De'elisha also loves children. All of those, the toughest, I have seen that the toughest of the Chevra,
They love children. And some of them are the best. I have seen this. That they're the best with children more than anybody else. You put them with children, they're great with children. They love children. They didn't get it with their Rebbe. They didn't get it with mom and dad. But they love this child. And they understand intuitively children. The problem is that tamimus that they adore in the child, they're looking for in their parents and in their rebellion, and they're not seeing it all the time. They think the only place they could find it is in the kindergarten, in the gan, in their little niece or their little nephew, in the little brother and their little sister, in the zerai and the tafla. But they're not going to find it by their parents. Because what the Ein Yodei Lishal is looking for is not the answers. It's not for some chokhmah. Not for some chokhmah. What the Ein Yodei Lishal is looking for, uncomplicated, unbridled love. Does that sound corny? Simple, pashtus, uncomplicated love. Like I said, the story from Reb Shimon Shkop, when he asked that person, that old rav that I knew, when was the last time you ate? They asked the kashya is, when was the last time you had a warm meal? Reb Shimon Shkop asked this person who I knew, who told us this story, who wanted to be accepted into the yeshiva, and he had to go be fahed, and he prepared a whole fancy Torah. He wasn't a lamdan, and his father paid for someone to teach him a whole fancy Torah. And when he came to Reb Shimon, he was terrified. All he knew was this Torah, and Reb Shimon answered the door, and Reb Shimon asked him, who are you? And he said, I'm Binyamin so-and-so from this shtetl. And he said, oh, Binyamin, I'm waiting for you. I have two kashis for you. And Binyamin told us that that's not how that works. That's not how the game goes. I prepared a shtikl Torah, a Gemara Rashi Tosfos, the only one that I know. And my father paid a Talmud Chacham to teach me over, you know, a Shagasaya, a Shmaitza, something, a B'kiv Eger to impress you. And you're not supposed to start off with a question. You're supposed to ask me, what Gemara am I learning? I tell you the Gemara, and then I tell you the Gemara, and you ask me a Kasha. Maybe, cool, I know the answer. So Reb Shimon says, I have for you two questions. And Reb Binyamin told us, myself and a couple of chevra, it was Chanukah, we were sitting around at the table downstairs in the Young Israel of Queens Valley. And he said, the Kasha is, the first question I have for you is, when was the last time you ate a warm meal? Or the Tzveita Kasha is, Reb Shimon is not a Chassid Rebbe. The Tzveita Kasha is, when was the last time you slept in a bed? And Reb Binyamin told us he just started to cry because he hadn't eaten a warm meal in weeks because he was poor and he was just walking all the way. And he hadn't slept in a bed in weeks since he left his mother. He hadn't slept in a warm bed. And he said that Reb Shimon said, we'll talk and learning in a few days. Reb Shimon's Rebbetzin wasn't there. Reb Shimon put on an apron. He told this to us. Reb Shimon made supper for me. And he put me into bed. And he sat on the bed and said, Kriya Shma, like a little boy. And he said, you want to know why I survived Siberia? And my wife dying and my whole life was ruined and destroyed, is it because of the two kashis of Reb Shimon Shkop? The two kashis of Reb Shimon. Not because I remember the lumdus of the Shia that I heard from Reb Shimon. I don't remember anymore. It's a long time ago. I don't remember the Shia. But the Tzvei kashis from Reb Shimon. No cynicism. Pure tmimus. Chesed, ahava. The solution to our generation of the Ein Yodei Lishol is the Tom. And that's why the Magid puts the Tom with Ein Yodei Lishol, because you know how to take care of him. Not because there's a curriculum, not because he took a course or he went to a Yom Iyun on how to save the Ein Yodei Lishol. He didn't major in children at risk. The ones who are most successful with those guys and those girls are not any kind of big brilliant philosophers, is the ones, those Jews who are Zorain. You don't need to be Lizrom. They just flow like Rav Kook was talking about. They flow with a warmth, with a welcoming kasha of when did you eat, when was the last time you ate? Because we learned that Bechol Chaisma means that Avraham Avinu was the Chasima. And the Chasima means the end of time that we're living in right now. Is waiting for the return of Avraham Avinu. is waiting for that pashtus of Reb Shaila Kerestir. So I jotted down many, many stories that I would want to share with you to bring all of what I just spoke to you about, to bring it all out. But it's mamish not nice to do that. And probably the one who would be upset with me most would be Reb Shaila. How come you're talking so much and these people are hungry? And I know for sure that's what my wife is thinking about mamish right now. Not that she's hungry. She's not hungry, but she's thinking, how could you talk about these two kashas and you're starving and killing these people? They haven't eaten and they haven't slept. And you're telling a maisa from eating and sleeping. Right? So I'll just tell you one tiny story. I don't remember it's in the book. Instead of 20, 30, I'll tell you one little one. I don't remember when this was. My wife gave this article. It was in, I think, Mishpacha, some months ago, about a chazan, Moshe LaKraus. Now, this Moshe LaKraus, Ogozunzain, is an old Jew. Blian Hari is the same age as my father. And he comes from Ungvar that we're going to tomorrow. My father knows him from the Haim. He's a Weltschazen. And there was a beautiful write-up. He's this tall. And there was somebody that was visiting our shul, was an Eish Kodesh from Ottawa the other day. I don't remember his name, a very beautiful Yid from Ottawa. And he told me this, he said, your father's from Ungvar. I said, yeah, because he heard. And you know, in Ottawa, we have a Jew from Ungvar, this Chazan Moshe LaKraus. Yeah? Sure, I know, my father knows him, I know. He says he lives in Ottawa, and this Yid says he drives him to shul every morning, this Moshe LaKraus, this Chazan. He was singing yet by the Minchas Elazar. We're going tomorrow to Minchas Elazar. The Minchas Elazar used to stand him up as a little boy by the Shabbos table. Moshele, sing. After the Milchama, after the war, and everybody was killed, and somehow he ended up together with the Klozer Magid Rebbe, and he was embarrassed, this Moshele Kraus, because he no longer had payas, and he didn't look anymore like he used to before the Milchama, and he was embarrassed with the Klozenberger, and he thought for sure that the Klozenberger didn't recognize him, and he was hiding on the side somewhere, and it was time for Niggin. And the Klozer Magid says, Moshele, Moshele. A niggin. And then Moshele to daven for the Omid. And he said, this Moshele Kraus meant, he says, Rabbi, I'm not any more Moshele that I used to be. And the Klozer Magid basically said to him, and I'm also not what I used to be. And they both started to cry. And he said, go daven for the Omid. Daven for the Omid. Moshele, you daven for the Omid. So let me just read this to you. He's a grandson of Reb Shaila's second wife, of the second rabbis. Those years, he writes with the Munkach Rebbe, he says with a faraway look in his eyes, are never far from my mind. There was never a better Jewish leader, a singer, or a speaker, Minchas Elazar. For his bar mitzvah, Moshele received two of the most meaningful gifts that he would ever receive. The first was a photo taken of him and his father, that would later be lost during the war and eventually miraculously returned. The second was a visit to his grandmother, the widow of Reb Shaila Kerestir, Nishaya, Reb Shaila's Rebbetzin, who lived in Hungary. Sadly, Reb Shaila had passed away long before then, but visiting his grandmother, Reb Shaila's Rebbetzin, was still a great honor. She served us a drink and said, L'chaim, in the same room where Reb Shaila used to receive people. Is that this room?
No.
Over there. In the same room where he used to receive people. Then she put both her hands on my head and gave me a blessing. I kissed her hand, he recalls. She also told him a story that contained a powerful message. So Reb Shaila's Rebbetzin told her grandson, Moshe LaKraus, the Chazan, he should live long years, this story. On the day of her wedding, she related that Shaila, her husband-to-be, had come into the room where she was waiting with all the women. The chuppah was outdoors, but Reb Shaila had insisted on telling his kala a chassidish story first. A chassidish story, he reminded her, doesn't have to be true, but it has to contain a moral lesson. He told her the following. One day, listen to what Reb Shaila told his caller before the chuppah. One day, when I was walking around in heaven, Reb Shaila said, before I was born, I was enjoying watching the angels, the Malachim, running around doing Hashem's will. It was beautiful. Suddenly I heard a voice saying, make room for the neshama of a great big Rav who's coming before Hashem's court, before the Bezin Shomal. So Pshal is telling his Kala, I heard this voice coming out. The Malachim are carrying a lot of books. All this far. I followed them, Shaila said, and watched them put the books on a scale, which almost broke from the heavy weight, all the Sforim that he learned, maybe wrote. On the other side of the scale were only a few tiny little sins. The judges were about to pronounce their verdict and admit the rabbi into Gan Eden, when a little angel called out, wait, wait! And he ran over and explained that the man hadn't learned Torah Lishma. He was a brilliant scholar, but his learning was not Lishma. And he had only learned to receive honor and respect. To prove his point, the angel, the Malach, blew on the scale. And all of the Sforim tumbled off. The judges immediately rendered their new verdict. The man would be sent to Gehenna, rather to the Gan Eden. So Pshaila says to his Kala about his walk in Gan Eden, when he was walking around before he was born. So he says, when I heard this, I became very anxious. How could I ever live up to such a high standard? Then I heard another voice saying, Panu Mokam, make room for another neshama. This person was an innkeeper, a man who would always give free food and drink to travelers before they left his premises. For this innkeeper, the angels piled the bread he had given away on the scale. There was so much bread that the sins on the other side, poof, flew away. Remember, he said, my dear Kala, Reb Shaila said, bread is what everyone needs to live. Bread, bread, and more bread. Not only physically, but spiritually. We must always remember to be generous and give it our whole heart. Now we can go to the chuppah. And that's why we want to feel a connection to Reb Shaila Kerestir. The Divrei Chaim said on him, Toiv ay in hu yevayrach. He was sitting in the back, and all the big tzaddikim were sitting by the Divrei Chaim, and it came time to bench. And the Divrei Chaim looked to Reb Shaila. No, I remember the other rebbes didn't hold so much at the beginning. They thought Reb Shaila was at Sigakim, and you know what I mean. He wasn't from the King David lounge, you understand? It was at Sigakim. And Reb Shaila was sitting in the back. All the rebbes were sitting in the front. And the Divrei Chaim was looking around, no. And he looked at Reb Shaila and he says, no. To bench. And he was passing the kais, and Reb Shaila just was looking like them. And the Divrei Chaim said, Shaila from Kerestir. And Shaila just sat there. And the Rebbe said, if not, I'm coming to you. And then Reb Shaila jumped up. And the Divrei Chaim brought him next to him and gave him the kais and said, Toiv ay in hu yevayrach. A Jew that has a good eye, hu yevayrach. He's the one to make the bracha. So Chevra, again, I'm asking you to be Toiv ay and to be Marichal. But we're coming to a place of a toiv ay in hu yevayrach. Why is it that there's so many brachas, so many miracles? People are telling over that not from now. Stories here of moifsim. Toiv ay in hu yevayrach. A guter mensch. A tmimis like a mensch. A tzaddik like a child. That had no inyonim. Just to be good. And at the end of the day, which we're now holding by, isn't that all that we really want, is to be good? We want also to learn and to know. Of course we do. And there's nothing more precious than to learn. But to be good. To be good. If we'll be good, we'll learn also. To be good. This shoe was good. I printed it. We're not going to do it. I was going to do it with you. I printed in the countries. You have there some tefillahs. Look at that. Tefillahs 42. You'll see there. And you have a few minutes, or maybe over the next few days, a couple of tefillahs and Lakutei tefillahs, where Rabbi Nosson is teaching us how to daven for tmimus, to be a tam. How to daven, pages 44, how to daven for tmimus. How to daven to be able to be Jews that are giving people, that are giving for tmimus and for chesed. How to daven to have a shaychus to this world of Reb Shaila Kerestia. Hashem Yisbarach should help us in the schus of the one who is buried here, that we and our children, our grandchildren, and all of the Jews should huddle together these last few minutes and hold on to the feet of this tzaddik and to be saved from the earthquake, that as the world falls apart around us, that somehow we should be able to preserve the pureness of our children and of ourselves and to come back to the world of Yosef Tzaddik and to daven a little bit and to have something to eat, because Reb Shaila would want us, don't daven too much, just have something to eat. Daven a little bit, have something to eat, you can come back later or whatever it is, and then to begin to move towards the Minchas Elazar, and then ultimately to Yosef HaTzadik, to Yerushalayim, to Yosef HaTzadik. We should be zeichah for the Gula Hashem Amitis with all the tzaddikim. Hakitzur Ranu Shaychnei Ofer, Mehem Yamin Amen V'Amen.
Amen.